to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Another NXT review. It is December 18th. What a show we had tonight. What a show. This show had a little bit of everything. It had some championship matches. It had some, not really returns, but some like grudge matches. It had some guys from NXT UK. Well, one guy from NXT UK. It's a women's match, not counting the championship match that I was not too big on, but it was a good night. December 18th was a good night for NXT, but to be 100% honest with you, I think this will be a week where NXT takes over the ratings from AEW. It's going to be one of those times where I think the consistency of the product and the, you know, as WWE as a whole, the consistency of the product and how it is, and not as much of, you know, gimmick matches and things like that that AEW tends to have. I feel like this is where NXT takes over. And again, no offense to AEW at all. It is a product that I like a lot of the guys who are in it, but it is not something that I watch their show for. But I also don't watch Raw, and I also don't watch SmackDown. So that kind of shows you I'm just in the NXT boat for right now, other than pay-per-views. But let's get into tonight. Let's get into what happened last week. First, I just want to say, if you want to give it a follow, you can do it at Twitter at the CO Place to Go. Same thing on Twitch, and then wherever you're listening to us, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Radio.com, any of the podcasting websites or areas you can find that, it is much appreciated. Thank you very much. So, getting into this past week in wrestling, you know, we had TLC. Now, the thing about TLC, the TLC match that happened, what, it was close to 20 years ago now, probably close to 20 years ago, with Edge and Christian, the Hardys, the Dudleys, it doesn't get better, any better than that. That is what TLC stands for. To me, TLC is one of those things where we shouldn't have a pay-per-view directed exactly towards, you know, one particular thing, kind of like Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell needs to be a specific match, maybe not an entire pay-per-view. Similar to War Games, you have a War Games match. This year is men's and women's, but you have a War Games match, and that is what signifies War Games. But there's four other matches that aren't it this year, three. But you know, it's one of those things where TLC to me should be more than just the name of a pay-per-view. There's so many cool pay-per-views that WCW had, or ECW, or even back in the day with the In Your Houses and things like that. They need to name it something different. That's, again, just my opinion. At TLC, you saw, I didn't watch, I watched highlights of it, so I didn't see it exactly on Sunday. I watched it on Monday. And, you know, looking at what they put together, I went straight to the main event. You know, I thought it was going to be The Fiend versus The Miz. It ended up being Bray Wyatt versus Miz. Which, let me tell you something, Bray Wyatt, his character coming out to the Firefly Funhouse song and like really not putting any offensive moves. I think he had 3 to 4 offensive moves total in this match. He picked up the win. What I thought was pretty cool was The Fiend was on screen after, kind of separating the characters. Obviously, what put this over the edge was the return of Daniel Bryan with his clean-cut look. I think it was pretty much clean-cut. You know, cut the hair, cut the beard. Brie Bella must have given her approval. It was a good return. It's going to set up, I think, a feud. I wonder how this is going to change The Miz. You know, you look at the guys who have faced The Fiend so far. You know, you got, the first was Finn Balor. He's back at NXT. Then you got Seth Rollins, who is now a heel. You have Daniel Bryan, who now has a new look. What happens to The Miz? To be seen. Maybe he disappears for a while. Maybe he's doing a movie. Maybe he's doing the family thing. I'm not really sure. But like I was saying about the main event, I fast-forwarded through. I didn't even pay attention. You know, I got that $9.99 a month network subscription. So I'm fast-forwarding through, and I see, the main event, the women's main event. And, you know, Charlotte Flair does end up hurting Kairi Sane in this. To me, looks like a concussion. But, you know, from my perspective, the main event was just not that great. I do understand having, you know, big-time people on big-time events in big-time positions. So, you know, whether that's main event, guys like Roman Reigns, I'm not trying to see him in 28 straight main events, you know, but this was just a position that should not have been in place for this. The return of Daniel Bryan 100% should have been in the main event. Another match that should have been main event could have been Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black. To me, that is a match that stole the show. That match had everything you would want, with Aleister Black picking up the win. That is actually a match I would like to see again, and I will be watching again this coming weekend. I got 4 days off in a row, Saturday through Tuesday. Very excited about that. Go back to work on Christmas kind of sucks. But, you know, we'll have some time for that. You know, also today was the end of voting for the NXT year-end awards. Winners will be announced on the 1-1 episode. 1-1 episode turned out to be a pretty big episode. Also, the AEW, like I was saying before, not my cup of tea, but you know what? Deserve viewership fall. Is this the week that NXT takes over? We shall see. I think it's going to be, you know, pretty interesting to see what happens going into the new year, as the first year of AEW is coming to an end. I do feel that there's going to be a shift in ratings, to be 100% honest. I'm going to move along to the birthdays. Today's the day I have a massive headache tonight. Absolutely massive headache. So I'm going to get through everything. I'm not going to, you know, try to go overboard or do anything insane tonight, talking-wise or go on any rants. Because, you know, the rants get to the head, you know. The rants will sit there and just put pressure. And me, right side of the head, is where my thinking pressure goes. So we're going to get into birthdays. Today was a huge day for birthdays. When I looked this up, you know, I skipped down, I saw the third one, and I was just like, whoa, that's awesome. Skip back up, I go, whoa, are you kidding me? Today, birthday, Stone Cold Steve Austin. December 18th birthday, Stone Cold Steve Austin. 55 years old today. To me, one of the greatest of all time. Has to be on a modern-day Mount Rushmore of wrestling. You know, if you look at wrestling of all time, you're going to have someone like Bruno Sammartino, who's on there, who do you take off? You know, do you take off a Hulk Hogan? Do you take off a Ric Flair? You know, some people have Andre the Giant on there, some people have The Rock on there. It's a very tough decision for me. But to me, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a guy who is definitely on that Mount Rushmore of wrestling. But, you know, what can you say about him? All the feuds he's been in, how he struggled in WCW, ECW, wasn't given the time of day. Was told he would never sell tickets in WCW. And, I mean, amongst others, you know, you want to talk about his podcast now, Broken Skull Ranch, you know, Broken Skull Sessions, I think it's called, had his with The Undertaker. Undertaker was told he was never going to sell tickets in WCW, so they really dropped the ball on some superstars who helped WWE win that Attitude Era. But what can I say? The feuds with, you know, Bret Hart, Vince McMahon, The Rock, Triple H, you know, DX in general, with The Undertaker, you know, with guys like Mick Foley. It was a great career. To me, unfortunately, ended too soon due to the neck, knee, all kinds of injuries. Would have loved to see him have one more match. At this point, we're talking, what, 15 to 18 years since his last match, something like that. I think the ship has sailed on that, but, you know, in wrestling, never say never. Next guy whose birthday it is Rob Van Dam, 49, Mr. Monday Night, ECW, great. Had a decent WWE run. I think he currently wrestles in Impact, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of, you know, marches to the beat of his own drum. Huge fan of smoking weed. That's one of his big things. That's one of the big downfalls. I remember Sabu taking the heat for they got pulled over and they searched the car and they found some marijuana, and Sabu ended up taking the hit, which Sabu's a guy I love, but Rob Van Dam, I think he had a huge ECW run, instrumental in what ECW was. Decent WWE run, nothing to write home about. Do I think he should be in the Hall of Fame? I do, based off full body of work, but we shall see. And last but not least today, like I said, the one I was like, oh, very cool, Trish Stratus turns a cool 43 today. My opinion, you know, some of her feud with Lita, especially, to me, put the newer version of women's wrestling on the map. Before, it was just bikini models and things like that. And not saying Trish Stratus didn't have her fair share of lingerie matches, and, you know, and who knows what else. You know, it was just... It is where the Charlotte Flairs and the Becky Lynches, and I feel like, you know, they came from that Trish Stratus, Lita mold. And so it's great to see her name on this list on a day that I cover. Something like that just makes me happy. Trish Stratus, fantastic. Wrestled her last match. Was that at SummerSlam? I believe it was SummerSlam. But fantastic wrestler. And miss her in the ring greatly. I mean, she pioneered women's wrestling. So we're going to get to what happened last week. So on last week's show, we had the number one contendership match, which, you know, had that tough stolen pin at the end. Balor ended up picking up the win, but it still was a very good match, which leads to this. You had Mia Yim and Dakota Kai wearing that post-match. Kai took a hard bump onto some tables. She got cut up pretty nice. I think it was 7 or 8 staples that she ended up having to get for that. But Dakota Kai did get the win. That was a post-match fight that Mia Yim took to her. And then we had a new NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Angel Garza picks up the win over Lio Rush. Great match. A lot of close calls. All this stuff is setting up things in the future here. Obviously, the number one contendership match sets up something for tonight. Also, the promos in that, the Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler promo, to me was, you know, set up this feud nicely. And this is a match that I've been wanting to see for, oof, man, let me see, probably at least since before War Games. You know, Rhea Ripley's kind of been coming on strong here in the last, I would say, 8 weeks. And she has been somebody who, to me, completely deserves this position and for this match tonight. But going on to today's show, first match of the night, NXT Championship match, hot start. NXT's been going on with a lot of hot starts, and I'm going to be 100% honest because I don't watch any of the other shows except for highlights. I don't know how their matches start. Do they start out with their, you know, every week it seems you get a Cruiserweight Championship, or you get the Men's Championship, or you get a really stellar tag team match, whether it's for the belts or not. So, you know, it was fantastic. This match I'm going to go into detail on. Some of the other ones I'm not going to. Just to kind of fly through to some of the good events of the night. This match, there was a lot of counters, a lot of teasing big moves at the beginning. Baylor hit a nice drop kick for a 2 count, followed by another couple drop kicks, to be honest. Adam Cole takes out the knees, hits a nice neck breaker and a snap suplex to follow. Baylor fights back, gets his knees taken out again. Balor won't give up. Cole goes to work on him. Gets hit with another, hits another neck breaker, and then hits that backstabber. Balor hits a sling blade after getting his, looked like a German suplex that was going to get blocked, and he hit a nice sling blade. And as he's going for the John Woo, he gets a hell of a super kick. Let me tell you, that super kick connected real nice, bottom of the chin, lays him out. They continue fighting, a lot of back and forth. Balor hit a nice Pele kick. Baylor hits a standing double stomp, followed by another John Woo. Adam Cole was going for a Panama Sunrise on the outside of the ring. Balor countered that and hit another John Woo dropkick through the barricade on the outside. And, you know, one thing I have been noticing about NXT is they've placed a lot of, you know, I don't want to even call them enhancement talents, but enhancement local guys and probably newer guys to the NXT ranks, and they put them in the spots where these happen, in the front row a couple times tonight. You know, they were put into action to catch wrestlers, you know, one time being Adam Cole. You know, and after he countered that, he got him back in the ring. He hit a couple more John Woos. The last shot was given Adam Cole onto Finn Balor. Balor kicks out. He ends up hitting the coup de grace, which I thought ended it. He goes to pick him up for the 1916, and he kind of peers to the side. You could tell he was looking for something because he did kind of peer over and then turn back, and then peered over again, and you have Johnny Gargano standing on the stage. Balor has this look of dismay. Now, you know, I'm sitting there watching it, and my wife even said, she's like, why does he look so surprised? Like, that's what caused him to lose, because she's a big Finn Balor fan. And I was like, yeah, you know, it sets up the fact that he hurt him, and it was a whole thing. Like, he's, you know, he's gone as Mr. NXT, blah, blah, blah. Cole hits a low blow, hits him with the last shot for the win. Clean pin on Finn Balor, 100% clean pin. Kind of surprised by that, but it was a win. As Adam Cole is done, you have Gargano coming to the ring and just taking out his frustrations on Finn Balor. A couple nice chair shots, goes back outside, another nice chair shot, hits him again into the barricade in front of the wrestlers who are set up on the side. To me, this match is a good solid 4 out of 5. This was a fantastic match. Great way to start. To me, there wasn't ever a point where I felt Finn Balor was going to win. There was a lot of points where I was like, okay, that's it. Adam Cole has this victory. But Finn Balor never got to the point to where he was going to win this, where he looked like he was going to be the one that did it. I feel that partially sets it up to where you kind of take Finn Balor out of the title mix just for a little bit, puts him in the feud with Johnny Gargano, which does, you know, it sets that up quite nicely, what happened today. But I just feel like that's the direction that they are going to go with this. I feel like Ciampa is up next, maybe in Keith Lee, but I feel it has to be Tommaso Ciampa at this point. Maybe a TakeOver Worlds Collide. Maybe you see Cole just fight, kind of like a Knight of Champions. You see Cole fight Walter. I mean, that's to be determined, because we're still about a month away. I don't know if you can hear, but my voice is starting to go just a little bit. Like I said, I'm a little bit under the weather today. You know, but we're going to keep battling through here. Next few matches, I'm not going to go really, really strong on any play-by-play or moves. The following match, I gave a 3 out of 5. It was Killian Dane versus Damian Priest. This was a match that saw a lot of offense from Killian Dane. Priest obviously fired back with some stuff, a lot of kicks, strikes, which is something that, you know, Damian Priest totally does. But I feel like this match mainly had Killian Dane go up on top. He hits quite a few power bombs, his, you know, running senton. The you know, Dane had a nice fisherman suplex that I don't remember seeing him use before. This match was something that was supposed to happen. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. And Damian Priest had some injured ribs from TakeOver Weekend due to, quote-unquote, Killian Dane. So the idea with this was a nice little grudge match. I think it could continue the feud and set up a bigger match. Like, I could see a no-holds-barred match between the two of these. Towards the end of the match, Killian Dane goes for his Vader bomb, but he takes knees to the chest, and he gets the reckoning from Damian Priest. Damian Priest gets the win. Really good, in my opinion, a good match for what it was, because I don't put a lot of... I like Killian Dane. I like Sanity. I like that, but him as a singles wrestler without help, I feel like a lot of his moves, he hits the same moves 3 to 4 times. His moveset is not huge. At least they don't allow it to be huge. I do feel like he does have more in the arsenal, that they're slowly unveiling his playbook, which is fantastic, I think. But this, Priest did not show any ill effects that I could really see. I mean, Killian Dane was attacking the ribs the whole match, so they were really playing off those injured ribs. But Damian Priest gets a win. This match gets a 3 out of 5 from me. It was a pretty good match. I would have to say it was tied for third best match on here, with the next match that's up, and that's Cameron Grimes versus Kushida. This match, I felt like, to me, it's kind of a weird combination between the two. Two completely different styles, in my opinion. Cameron Grimes / Trevor Lee, I've been saying for the last 3-4 weeks, has been fantastic. He is the type of guy who I feel is an NXT type of guy. I could see him on the main roster, but getting lost, like the vast majority of NXT call-ups get. Kushida, on the other hand, a couple weeks back now, from their wrist injury, when it was supposed to be, Mendoza versus Grimes last week. Kushida ended up with the distraction for the win for Mendoza. He ended up taking his hat in this match. Cameron Grimes does pick up the win. Cameron Grimes double stomp. That is a strong move. In this one, he almost did it so, you know, with so much velocity that it almost looked like he like bent backwards and could have got hurt. But Cameron Grimes picks up the win. This evens their series of 1-1, and this feud, of course, will continue. I feel like the next couple weeks, there's gonna be a big blow off in this feud. Kind of confused by Kushida and what he is going to be in NXT. He's a guy who came in with a lot of hype, but I feel like, you know, there's so many guys at the top of NXT now, especially with Finn Balor back. You know, Keith Lee is just unbelievable. Matt Riddle's still there, Ciampa. Obviously, all of Undisputed Era. You got a lot of guys up at the top. Kushida, I'm not sure where he fits in on that. I have a feeling they're going to have a lot more for him and better things for him in 2020. Remember, he did get hurt. He was out for, you know, about 2 months, 6 weeks to 2 months. You know, so this is a good feud to warm up to what's coming next. Honestly, this match, like I said, it was tied with me with the last match for third best match on the card. Gets another 3 out of 5. Really good match. Definitely one to watch if you're into both these guys. Like if you're a indie guy and you like Trevor Lee or Kushida, definitely take a look and watch this match. You will appreciate, you know, the storytelling between these two guys. Next match for me, started off kind of weird, and you know, obviously I have to watch what I say on here. This is a family-friendly show, so I'm gonna, you know, censorize what I'm gonna say here. But you had Io Shirai versus Santana Garrett. Santana Garrett, the last time that she wrestled, it was against, I'm trying to think, Tainara. I might be saying her name wrong. And that match to me was awful. It was one of the worst matches I've seen, other than anything that Aaliyah ever does, in quite a long time. But this match, for me, only got a 1.5 out of 5. You know what? I'll even move it up to a 2. And the only reason that is because of Io Shirai. I think she's fantastic. Some of the strikes, the knee kicks, you know, her moonsault at the end is fantastic. She is somebody that I do like watching. She picks up a quick win. It was only probably 4 or 5 minutes. At the beginning, though, Io Shirai's in the ring, and somebody said something about go back to China or something like that. Some douchebag in the audience said something about going back to China. And Io Shirai turns around, goes through the ropes, and goes, "I'm Japanese, biz." You know, the B word, you know what I'm saying? "I'm Japanese, bitch," is exactly what she said. So that was, to me, super funny. It made Io Shirai a real person. I feel like she is actually, you know, I'm not going to compare her to Asuka, but I'll compare her a little more to Kairi Sane. I feel like she is actually great when it comes to the women's division. I feel she, you know, when Baszler ends up leaving, or when Baszler ends up kind of taking a step back from the main event scene, and you got your Bianca Belair and Io Shirai, I think is right there. I think those are the two. You know, you got Dakota Kai being built up pretty big time. I think she's being built up to have a feud strictly with Tegan Nox, and I think that's going to end up being a blowout feud between the two, which sees both of them kind of being relegated to nothing. But, you know, Io Shirai is someone that I think does deserve a run. And I just hope it doesn't come too soon, especially with what happens at the end of this event. But it was a good match. If you like Io Shirai, again, so much better from Santana Garrett than the last match that she had with Tainara. It was that was awful, but luckily she got to redeem herself, and you know that's a positive thing because too many matches combined of dead crowds or just inconsistency will doom you in NXT, and you know you do see that with some of the talents, especially on the men's side. To be quite honest with you, and, you know they work with you, you know, as much as possible, but they're also quick to pull. We are now to our second to last match of the night. This match is going to be Travis Banks versus Pete Dunne. Now, at the beginning of the show, I said Travis Banks. Well, I didn't say his name, but there's one person from NXT UK, which, you know, I will say I did watch some highlights from NXT UK in the last couple weeks, just to kind of get an idea of who is who, other than your, you know, your Pete Dunnes, your Imperiums, anyone at Mustache Mountain, you know, Taylor Bate, and those guys. You know, I don't know a ton of other people, so it's nice to see some other people. And Travis Banks, this is 2 weeks in a row. He had a decent match last week. This was a really good match. Banks looked fantastic in this match. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't even know how to explain. He had some really good moves. One of them I want to say was called the Kiwi Crusher, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of trading back and forth, a lot of strong punches and kicks. He had a nice suicide dive, nice missile drop kick, and a double stomp. Pete Dunne, of course, comes back, ends up hitting an avalanche. Like an avalanche suplex, and then he hits a bitter end at the end. You know, Pete Dunne does pick up the win in a good, you know, 3 out of 5 star match. I will put this one above the women's match, though, probably in the 5th spot on the card. But it's always nice to see Pete Dunne. I didn't think he would lose, especially being the last time that I remember seeing him. He lost. This was a great match for Travis Banks. I'm excited to see more of Travis Banks stuff. I'm excited to see a lot of NXT UK, to be quite honest with you. But Pete Dunne does pick up the win. Taylor Bate, I think, is facing Noam Dar on NXT UK today. They have some special, but I believe Tyler Bate is, and I'm a big Tyler Bate fan. Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, to me, put on some of the best matches together during that UK Championship tournament. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, watching some of these guys that, and I don't even want to call them indie guys because they're not necessarily indie guys. I guess if you're not in WCW, WWE, ECW back in the day, or WWE now, I'll even count Impact or AEW now technically, or like a New Japan, you're kind of an indie guy, you know. To me, Ring of Honor is even indie, and you know, some of these guys wrestled, and it's because they're overseas that you don't know their name, but a guy like Pete Dunne would have been scooped up, you know, right away, and he was. WWE signed him, and so it's nice to see some of these guys like a Travis Banks just get TV time because their skills are fantastic. They're absolutely phenomenal, and you have a huge audience in the United States that has no clue who these people are, and it's just great to see, you know, them get a shot, especially on a weekly TV show, and not just, you know, and then they get put on pay-per-views. It's not just, we'll give you the TV time, but then when it comes to the takeover, you're not on there. I mean, Pete Dunne typically gets at least every other takeover he's on, and that's big news. That's big things for Pete Dunne, and I just hope that continues for him and these feuds continue. Last match of the night, to me, second best match of the day, Rhea Ripley versus Shayna Baszler. And the reason I say that is because I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 stars on this. But, you know, it told a story. I was actually impressed with Shayna Baszler. I'm the first to admit that I feel a lot of Shayna Baszler's matches are, I don't want to say sloppy. Sloppy's not the right word, but basic could be potentially the right word. They're all the same. To me, they all look the same. She ends up getting a submission win. She ends up striking submissions here and there. A lot of kicks. But to me, not a lot of moves. This match, to me, I felt was just a little bit different. I feel Rhea Ripley is the hottest thing in NXT right now. Yes, the Undisputed Era is fantastic and has some good times. But right now, in the men's division, I would say Keith Lee is the hottest thing. In the women's division, Rhea Ripley. And out of the two, Rhea Ripley is hotter than Keith Lee on multiple levels. Multiple levels. But if we're talking about just wrestling, I'm going to stick with that. Rhea Ripley is the hottest thing in NXT. This was the longest match of the night. Total story. Again, you know, when you're going to have a championship match as a main event and as an opening, it says a lot about your show. It shows a lot of depth that you have in your show. That's why I love NXT. This match, I don't even know where to begin on this. At one point, you know, Rhea Ripley's on the ground getting choked out. And she is getting, like, you know, her arm starts to drop, but she ends up grabbing the ref, you know, by the shirt, which was pretty fantastic. She powered up and out, just stomps the living brains out of Shayna Baszler, and hits the inverted cloverleaf. Shayna escapes, hit a nice knee strike. They work up to the top. Shayna just starts just talking a lot of crap to her face. And Ripley ends up hitting the avalanche riptide. That was a fantastic move. Almost looked like she didn't get her over far enough. But that Rhea Ripley ended up picking up the win. And we're talking, this was a 20 to 25 minute match. I can't say enough about this win. In terms of, this was the time for Rhea Ripley to win. This match, and I like that thing that I've been doing lately, is like, you know, giving you some play-by-play, giving you a little bit, but not too much, because I want you to watch these matches. You know, with a match that we had, what was it, last week or the week before, where it was just the Aaliyah match. I dog on Aaliyah every week. I really, really do. I would love to debate with Aaliyah, like, why she's still in wrestling. Like, you know, talk to me. I would love to have her and have a conversation. Like, why? Why are you doing this to me? Go to Impact that I don't watch. Go to Ring of Honor that I don't watch. Go there. Trade us Mandy Leon. Bring us Mandy Leon, please. But not Aaliyah. But this match, it was the right call to change the championship. When I heard that this was on there, I was like, there's no way that Rhea Ripley's going to lose. That will destroy the momentum that she has had recently. And that would be devastating, first of all, to the women's division, but to NXT in general. I'm glad that they didn't make that mistake by having Shayna Baszler win. I mean, the horsewomen came out, everything, you know, the classic distraction, but Ripley fought them off and hit a cannonball on the apron. It was just, there was different moves in this. It was different levels. Rhea Ripley took on all foes in this. Her Survivor Series / War Games week were great. Obviously, there's going to be a rematch to this, and I kind of hope that they wait till the TakeOver, and they kind of, like, Ripley make Shayna Baszler wait. Don't see that happening, but I feel like it'd be too quick for Shayna to lose twice. Shayna Baszler and the horsewomen in general, but Shayna Baszler is the only decent wrestler. They're amazing heels. Ripley was the David versus Goliath type baby face, and overcame all odds, almost passing out as the ref's going to drop the arm. She grabs the ref's shirt. I mean, it was Rhea Ripley is the star of the women's division. Not to the same level as someone like Asuka, Becky Lynch, or Charlotte, and I believe that's from a wrestling-specific standpoint. I think Ripley is just as big enough star as she's relatable to the fans. She has that type of attitude. She's got the screaming music. You know, she is what you want to see, and she's over like crazy with the fans. I'm happy about the win. It was a pinfall win, clean win. It's all you can ask for in a championship match, and especially with, you know, getting a new champion. So what stood out match-wise? Of course, the men's title match and the Reign of Ripley Begins. Those two things stood out. Again, Cameron Grimes putting together a good match with Kushida. That was good. Damian Priest back. I love Damian Priest. I think there's big things for him to come. He's a guy that I think goes up to WWE, gets completely lost, and gets released within 6 to 8 months. I think down in NXT, he has a position, even though there's a lot of guys in NXT who need positions. He is a guy who I think deserves one. The promos tonight, obviously there was a Worlds Collide video package. They were talking about the year-end awards at the voting ended today. Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic returns in 2020. Teams will be announced on the first. Is it a huge show on the first? Huge show. You know, you got the year-end awards. You got the teams for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. You've got, you know, that's the beginning of the year. Obviously, there's going to be some type of title match on the first. Like, it's just going to be insane. You know, the year's going to start off strong, and I've said before, this is where we overtake AEW, and I think that's where it's going to happen. Dakota Kai had a pretty good line again tonight, and she's kind of been doing that. You know, she said all that matters is she won, even though she got battered with the staples and everything, and that she's coming for the NXT Women's Championship. Kind of good that they didn't have that match with Ripley a couple weeks ago, so now it's kind of going to be a fresh match and not something we just saw. And so where do we go from here? Also, Roderick Strong issues an open challenge for his North American Championship. Also, you got Leo Rush and Keith Lee versus Tony Nese and Damian Priest. Strange tag team challenges, you know, between the two guys, but it is something big. I believe those are on 1-1 as well. So yeah, like, you know, there's big things coming going into the week, into the Christmas week. I appreciate everybody listening. You know, just the fact of doing this is a Christmas present to me every week. You know, it can be challenging with work, but this is something that I love, and I would love to talk to you. If you got anything, questions, comments, or anything, please hit me up on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. And I can't wait to go into the next year, you know, talking with you guys and seeing where NXT goes. I think it's going to be a strong year, and I think it's going to be the best year yet coming up. Can't wait to talk to you then.